thank you for tuning into the Model Connection Podcast. I am your host, Eric Errol. Please like, follow, and subscribe on social media and everywhere you get your podcast. Links are in the description. With us today is a very special guest.
Hi, I'm Kelly Sedovic-Ely, and I'm a fashion and beauty photographer. I recently moved to Nashville, and I work with a lot of agency models. I'm very thankful to be here on the Model Connection Podcast.
Okay, Kelly, thank you for being my guest on this episode of the Model Connection Podcast. So, I hear that you are a Midwestern girl, right?
I am.
What brought you to Tennessee?
Actually, I've always loved Tennessee.
Always have, huh?
We would visit every year, no matter what, go to the Smokies and go to Nashville.
Okay.
And before I was a photographer, I actually wrote song lyrics and poetry.
Uh-huh.
So, kind of goes way back, but...
Quite a ways, then, don't
quite
it?
Quite a ways.
Okay. So, how long have you been a photographer?
Well, let's see. The twins are 25, so... About 25 years is when I picked up.
Start with the firstborn, huh?
Yes, it did. So about 25 years, but the first 5 years was just fun taking pictures of them.
Okay. Your brand of photography, you classify it as more what or?
Fashion, beauty, and editorial, but I kind of generalize it now into, I specialize in portraiture. Whether that be what I call normal or extreme, but it can vary.
Okay, now tell me how you got started doing that.
I've always been fascinated with the model side and that kind of creative side. Always magazines were my thing when I was a teenager as well. Very intrigued by fashion, and just as I started learning more about the camera, that was the avenue that intrigued me more than any other.
Okay, so you've got fashion, beauty, editorial. That's quite a wide range of...
Yep.
What do you enjoy the most?
That's a good question. Honestly, there's days when I just want to take a simple portrait, and then there's days when I want to take everything I own, piece it on the person, and create something extraordinary. So I actually love it all, photography. Even taking travel pictures. I love taking landscape pictures, too. But that's
what is your favorite thing to photograph now?
People.
Okay.
Portraits. I even like street photography as well, but I just, something about the face. No matter where I start, I will always go back to the face.
Okay. How did you learn your craft?
I learned it all on my own. It was back in the time when internet wasn't really a thing. It was just starting, so I went to the library. I checked out every book that I could find on fashion and beauty, editorial photography, lighting, you name it, whatever, I read it. And then as the internet grew, that's where I went next.
Okay, now let me jog my memory a little bit. You started out... On the end of the film days?
I did start. My first camera was a film camera.
Okay.
And it was my brother's. Because he actually, he went to school and he took a photography class. But I didn't. But I was like, hey, do you have your camera? And he said, yeah. And I said, can I have it? Well, he never got it back. So
Never got it back, huh?
I still have it. I do.
Wow. Okay, so how was... The transition from film over to a digital for you?
It actually wasn't that bad. I found digital to be, I mean, now I would say it's almost cheating. It's so easy compared to film. So
true.
But
true.
It wasn't too bad. Because if you learn in manual to start with, I mean, you're going to transfer that. You're going to go to manual and digital. And that's the way you should do it anyway. But
Yeah. What has been the hardest part of a photography for you?
The hardest part? Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I love it so much that there's not really anything I could say that I hate about it. But sometimes I think maybe getting the connection with people, it's a lot easier now. Like, I don't struggle with that, but I'm very particular about mm-hmm. my work and how I want to create it. So mm-hmm. it's like letting them know that I'm making this and getting everybody on board with what I'm doing.
Okay.
In the beginning, when you first start out, that's not as easy because people are starting out too. Everybody wants to put input.
Right.
And now I'm at the stage where I don't do very much like trade work. And if I do, it's a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. So just getting everybody to know what we're shooting and why.
How much planning do you put into a shoot?
I'm always planning. So that's a funny question. Ironic question, not funny. I could literally be planning something and not know what it's going to be for the person I'm shooting next until I see their face. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, that thing I thought about a month ago, that's what we're doing now.
Okay.
So it's a process that always continues. Even when I'm in Walmart, Hobby Lobby, anywhere I'm at, frankly, there's something up here that's, yeah.
Okay, so you are a person that when you get to a location, shall we say, and you look at what you've got to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I need you here, lights here, I need you facing here, I'm going to be right here, boom. Is that how your shoots go, or do you want
to? Kind of. Like, I get to a location. If it's on location, usually I'm there before they are, and I've already picked 10 spots ahead of time. So when they get there, it's like, okay, we're starting this outfit. We're going to go here, 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 and here. But I'm pretty quick, too, which people like. Some people don't like, but most people do like it. But, I mean, literally, I will shoot 5 outfits in less than 30 minutes on the
5 in less than 30?
Yeah, I'll be like, okay, change. I don't take very many shots. So it's okay. Like, all right. It's already in my head. Got this, 5 shots. Okay, go change. And we'll do another spot. So it's pretty fast.
Wow. I find myself, if I am at a location and a setting and the vibe is good,
mm-hmm.
I don't know when 5 shots are, okay? Probably more like 25, okay? Yeah. Okay, so are you more comfortable on location or in studio?
As long as I'm in my realm, because studio predominantly I will do.
Your world.
Yeah, in my world. like if it's my studio, I'm totally comfortable there. Everything's set to where I want it. I'll do anything from full length, mostly mid to portraits inside my studio.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly I do my extreme beauty shots in the studio. So that's half of me. And the other half on location equally as, I mean, I love it just as much. It's just a different form of photography. But, yeah, I love them both.
On the new models that you have worked with, are they, I won't say the word edgy, but are they more fidgety about, I did not realize it takes so long to do this.
Yeah, kind of.
How do you handle a new model on the start?
Usually try to just make everything light conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I want a stress-free right. environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I want them as laid back as possible. And I'm
sure.
Also a shooter that shoots the shot in between the shot. So 9 times out of 10, the shot that they think I'm taking is not the one that they're going to get. So I just want them relaxed, and that's what I try to portray to them. It's like, hey, this is fun. Just keep moving. If I want you to stop or do something, I'll tweak it. I'll let you know. Otherwise, have fun. That's it.
What has your photography taught you about yourself?
That my mind and my brain never stops working. I'm still to this day, I am fascinated by people, portraits, and photography. And by doing this for as long as I have, some people get burnt out, and I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But for me, it's I just want to keep doing it and keep growing and keep getting bigger. So it's kind of like a passion that I really love it. So it's taught me about myself that I see things differently than a lot of people, but I'm okay with that and I like that.
And that's where your creativity comes in at. Mm-hmm. Where do you get your creativity?
Everything.
Pinterest? Billboards?
Honestly, everything I see. From watching a movie to a commercial to people walking down the street to walking through Walmart to walking in Hobby Lobby. Everywhere. Everything just comes in. I could walk past something, even at Goodwill, and be like, uh-huh, I know what I'm doing with that. And I even got asked once about sewing when I was looking for stuff, and I was like, oh, honey, I don't sew, but this is going to go on somebody's face.
I was so into that, honey. But let me tell you what I'm thinking about doing.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That is so awesome. What... Your perception of photography 25 years ago, shall we say, and your perception of photography now, has it changed?
Yeah, I think it has. Because
how?
When I first started, I thought once you learned the basics, once you learn this, you learn that, you know, you're going to be where you want to be, you're going to be great. But what I know now, you never stop learning. And if you do stop learning, you stop growing, and you're pretty much going to be done. Because there's always something new to see, learn, or do to make it better.
Are you easy in following new trends, or are you just kind of in your rut like I am? Just got your mindset, this is how I was trained, this is what I know, I like this. This is how it's done.
Yes and no.
Okay. Talk to me here.
Certain times, yeah, I'm going to do it the way I know it, the old-fashioned way, lighting like this, because I know this is going to be killer.
Yeah.
But when I see a trend, it intrigues me.
Okay.
And so I want to see how can I spin that and still make that me. So I can follow trends, but I have to tweak them and change them to fit my form in a way. I mean, I like to see the new things. I mean, like when you see stuff on Pinterest and you see a headshot that, oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to make that mine. So I have to creatively think, how am I going to change that to be in my mold?
I hope you have already seen a few of these examples, but I'm going to ask you your opinion as a photographer. I've been seeing recently a lot of models posting images done with this Lensa app. Mm-hmm. Your opinion?
My opinion is that they shouldn't do that.
Talk to me, because...
Because it's our art, and we made the product, and now they're getting another form of our art that shouldn't be that way. I mean, how do I say it? They shouldn't be able to tweak it. Like, if they want a picture or something, because it's more like a painting that they're portraying different pictures they have in like a painting form.
Painting, yes.
So they should have somebody paint it.
Is it somewhat cartoonish?
And it's cartoonish as well. Yes.
And it's kind of like Marvel Comics induced, I'm going to say. I mean, I've seen some images that I'm thinking, okay, I've seen a real person and this.
And it's not, yeah.
Right. I mean, and
I've never been a fan of that kind of stuff, but it kind of, to me, goes back to the fact that they weren't the photographer and they took a picture that they probably shouldn't have altered. And they might be upset. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people would be like, well, you know, it was my picture, you took it, but I just wanted... But no, that's kind of... You're changing somebody's work and making it... I mean, when you put your work out there, you want them to see your best work. Now, if they were to just put that up and not say this was a Lensa app, whatever, and they just put that picture, and someone would be like, you did that? And I don't want that either.
In your images, how much editing do you do, if any?
It depends on the picture, and it depends on what I want in the outcome. So anything that's usually editorial, lifestyle, what full length for agencies, mm-hmm. it's basically you open them up, you do your raw adjustments, crop, save, mm-hmm. maybe color, contrast, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. When it's my beauty headshots,
yes.
I definitely do more skin work than I would on anything else.
Okay, great. What is the hardest part for you to edit? Skin color?
You know, and it's not even the hardest part. It's the time-consuming part.
Yes.
And I'm not someone who will batch adjust anything, so I take every picture by itself. So my process is probably slower than a lot of people's, but I think every picture should be taken for me on its own value and mm-hmm. make it the best it can be. So it's more time than... And what I like the least, though, would be skin.
Skin.
And it depends on whose skin, too, because it can take a long time sometimes.
It can. That's, lighting, it can be harsh. Mm-hmm. It can be soft. Mm-hmm. Edit towards your lighting. Mm-hmm. Maybe you won't have to... Have to do so much editing.
And it's not even... It is that, and it's kind of not that, because everybody has different skin textures.
True.
And some
yes.
have
yes.
more... you don't see it when you look at them.
Right.
And you're like, oh, God, they're beautiful face. And then you pull it up and you realize... I mean, it's still a beautiful face, but they'll have, like, blemishes that to the negative eye you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And more than... Yeah. So it's just tedious.
Old acne scars.
I don't even know if there would be scars, but just like little like bumps everywhere.
Wow.
And when you do a macro shot, a macro beauty shot, because it's really focused close on that face, mm-hmm. it shows everything. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Talking about your editorial and beauty, you were kind enough to bring with you a few images that we were going to have up on the monitor. And Kelly, if you can, I'm going to ask you to please be as a visually descriptive of these images as you possibly can for the people that are listening. And maybe by your description of these images, it would just so happen to entice those people to go to YouTube and watch this episode, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So now, if we can have your first image brought up on the monitor, we would go over that image, and...
That's Kelsey.
Okay, now what are we looking at here, Kelly?
To start with, I have a great connection with makeup artists, and a lot of...
Lucky
my,
you.
A lot of my makeup artists are my / makeup artist models, and
Hi.
This is one of the cases.
Okay.
This is Kelsey. She is an amazing makeup artist. In the state of Iowa, she's won the award for makeup for wedding photography for the past 5 years.
Okay.
But she's equally a beautiful person. And we used to get together quite often to create beautiful pictures. Well, her face is stunning, so
mm-hmm.
you can't go wrong with her. But this was where I wanted to go moody. I call it my more moody Hollywood-style lighting, because I use a beauty dish in an alternate way,
mm-hmm.
and instead of pointing it down, I point it up to get that shadow cast behind them. It's more of a glamorous Hollywood color texture contrast.
I was going to say this is like your 40s to 50s
yes.
Hollywood glamour
yeah.
look.
Yep, and it's what I can portray in a small, because I travel a lot and I go to locations a lot, and this was in her living room.
Okay, wow.
So it was one light. One beauty dish pointed up versus pointed down at the subject, and then kind of turned, you know, so her face.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful, stunning picture.
Wow, okay.
Because she's beautiful.
Good image. Yes, she is. Okay, and this is?
This is Lexi. Oh, my goodness. I met Lexi probably 5 years ago. She is an airline stewardess now, but I think she went back to school. She is an amazing, she says plus size model. I say no way. But we were in the middle of a forest. We were in my RV because I traveled for 5 years taking pictures everywhere. And so we were at a campground and I met her off of Instagram. And I don't know her Instagram like handle. I think it's at Lexi Heckman. E-X-I-E-H-E-C-K-M-A-N, I think. But even if you Googled that, you'll find her. But we met, and this was the first shoot we ever did. And she was just standing outside of my RV at this time. I was getting my stuff out and ready. And I saw the way that the light was falling on her, casting the shadows of the trees and the limbs. And I was like, just kind of look up a little bit so that the light just... Her face was evenly lit, but mm-hmm. you still had the shadows on the dress. And it was just, I thought it was pretty cool. I love playing with shadows and abstract and different things like that. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, now this is one of your.
This is one of my all-time favorites.
Okay. Just what are we looking at here now?
This actually is a. Oh, my goodness. My kids were probably only 10 when so 15, 16 years ago, way back when I was first starting in the real creative beauty kind of work. And like I said, anything that I find, I used. And I just happened to have a piece of black lace fabric, and she was sitting in my dining room. Actually, in fact, it was like... Could have been an old haunted house that we lived in at the time. And we were in this old dining room with these like decrepit walls and wood. But she was just sitting there and I saw the lace. I had the crock because I have a big box of like jewelry assortments all the time and fabrics. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we're going to do this. And then the makeup artist, I said, can you do something else with the lips to go with the jewels on the cross? And she said, I sure can. And I wanted the drip on the lip. I have another one where I did where they dripped paint down the face, and I just have to catch the drip because it's like that extra bonus. But I don't know why this is my favorite. Her name is Tiffany. She's changed her name since then. That was her Model Mayhem name at the time, so I couldn't even tell you where she's out of Peoria. That I know, but.
Again, now, where do you get your creativity from, okay?
That's just it. Like, in that case, it was just, it happened at that moment. Literally, we weren't sure where we were going. The lips were the last look we had done. They were already the black color. I saw the lace. I saw the fabric. I'm like, cover her eyes and put the jewel in your mouth. Let's go. It's crazy. I know. But
if I see this image from somebody, I'm thinking, okay, I can probably do this extra to it and make it mine. Mm-hmm. But as far as me coming up with the original idea, nah, it ain't happening, okay? I don't know why.
I'm really good at just visualizing things on the face that shouldn't be on the face, I guess.
Okay. And here we have another.
This is another slash makeup artist model that I've
another
had
one. Pleasure okay. of.
There's probably 10 in my career that I've worked with consistently. And it's a really good thing. It's a really good thing. She's one of my best friends, and she's actually moving to Tennessee next year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm really happy about that. This is April Berry. She is a model. She is a makeup artist. She is a hairstylist. She is legally blind.
Legally blind?
And taught herself how to be a makeup artist.
Wow.
And she is, that's her work right there. She's amazing. At April Berry on Instagram. But yeah, she's legally blind and went through and she's taught herself, self-taught. She even went to Nashville to see if she could apply at the school there for makeup and stuff. But they already told her she was probably too good, that she's wasting her time. But she wanted the certificate because that's the only thing she doesn't have. But she's self-taught.
Hey, wow.
And this was another one where she had the hat. She sent that to me, and I said, yes, we're definitely doing that. And then we went through makeup ideas. This was a combo effort on this one. So we went through and tossed back the makeup ideas back and forth. And then she had some jewelry. And then we went through and I picked out the ones. I said, yes, this, this. And then she goes, okay, we're putting it together.
Why? Okay. And here we have.
This is Elise. This is one of my favorite stories. I can kind of tell. I love working with new upcoming people.
Right.
Who fit the. She's got the height. She's got everything to be a runway fashion model.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd been turned down by so many. And we were in Iowa at the time. And so was she. So there's not a market for that kind of a model.
The modeling mecca of the world is in Iowa.
Is not in Iowa. But that's why she would get turned down, because they can't do anything with someone who has that look, has that face, has that height. And I'm like, you don't belong here, but you do belong somewhere.
Yes.
I've had probably about 20 cases of this where I'm like, we need to shoot. I said, whether or not you do anything for your future like you want, I said, you need to see that, you know, you can do this. After we finish this shoot, which this was in a bathroom at an Airbnb, the shower in the bathroom was the coolest thing about the whole thing. Again, the one beauty dish light for more dramatic lighting. And she's now in New York City, and she's signed by one of the major.
And good for her.
And she just got married, and she's on a billboard in New York. So,
wow. Yeah. So you knew her when.
I knew her when.
Those are some great images.
Yeah.
If you will indulge some of your wisdom, as she laughs right now, indulge some of your wisdom on someone wanting to get into a photography right now, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to do it, first of all. If they're interested, do it. Pick up the camera. It's not necessarily, you don't have to know what you want to do at that point with that camera. Just start taking the pictures, and the rest is going to work itself out. Like, so many people struggle with, what do I take? Do I be a portrait photographer? Do I be a landscape photographer? Do I do this? Do I do that? I say just do it first, and the rest will work itself out. You're going to find what you love to do the most. And that's what's going to keep you taking the pictures. So, and don't be afraid. I mean, criticism, critique, it's all going to come. And any business, any kind of thing, singing, acting, photography, you're going to be told no 100 million times. But don't stop, because it only takes one yes and you keep going. And that one yes is worth all the no's, by the way.
Okay, now, is that the same advice you would give someone that is looking to be a model?
Yes, and I've given it several times. Like I said, in the cases on the pictures with the girls, there was another girl recently 2 years ago, and she's now, again, signed in New York. But she was 6'1". Tall, skinny, she had the runway look. And she was turned down by 10 agencies before I met her. And after we took her pictures, she ended up going off to New York. And I told her the same story. I said, there is a market for everybody. You're getting turned down because the markets that you're going to, they can't market you. It's not that you're not valuable, not that you couldn't do it. You have to find the person who can do it for you. You're going to be told no. Probably 1,000 times, but it can happen if you really want it to happen. You have to learn. You have to research. There's so many types of modeling.
Yes.
So many. And people get stuck in, but I want to be this. Okay, but you got to really self-evaluate you, who you are, and decide where you can fit and go after that market. Because obviously, if you're 5'2", you can't go on the runway. Well, you can. I guess that's not totally true. Because in small towns, you can do the runway
right.
For
yes.
There.
Yes.
But as soon as they evaluate and they realize where they fit the best, and then you give 100%, you have a so much greater chance, and somebody's going to see it, and the right attitude.
In the craft that we call our photography. How has it changed in the 25 years?
People take way too many pictures now. Digital. I love it and I hate it because you can take so many more pictures, but sometimes I'm like, okay, that's too many, guys. Back off.
Enough of the selfies, huh?
Yes. It's changed in the way that it's easier, quite frankly, I think, for someone to learn photography because of digital. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with like a DSLR that's / partly mirrorless, all you have to do is look at your viewfinder and make your adjustments. You see it. It's real life. We never learned that way.
Right.
We set our adjustments and we prayed. And so we learned, okay, that's going to work there and that's going to work there. So I think it's easier to learn. But with that easiness, they miss a lot of stuff in between, if that makes sense.
And there are so many different kinds of editing software out there.
Yes. And people get lost in what can I do to this versus some people might think in my pictures that I do quite a bit of editing. And basically in the beauty pictures, yeah, I do a lot of skin work, but I don't alter much of anything else per se. Like, I don't do anything but contrast, your raw adjustments, contrast, color, whatever. Maybe play with a filter here or there, but it's not that much in the realm of what people might think. Mm-hmm. But I see people who do. There's so much software that they can take a picture, and then when they're done, you're like, was that the picture you took? I was in that room. I don't remember that.
Are we more editors than photographers now?
I think in a way that some people are. And when I first started, what was the word for people who actually edited? It was graphic artists.
Yes.
Yes. That's now it's kind of merged together. So a lot of people think that editing is, but I still separate them. I find it more graphic. When they change backgrounds and do all that kind of stuff, I think it's graphic work. It's not editing a picture that you took. So in that way, maybe. I don't know. They kind of merge together. So it's not like you don't look for a graphic artist anymore. You don't look for a photographer to do just a simple portrait. They're the same person nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in that respect, we do edit a little bit more.
I'm so old school that I pay to have all of my editing done.
Do you really?
For me. But I make sure that I get as close to right
to
in the camera mm-hmm. as I can. So whenever I give my guy the memory card and I say, okay, I check the lighting on this image, check this on that image, mm-hmm. and that's all the guy does.
And that's all they do.
Because I make sure what's in the background I either want or don't want.
Exactly.
Positioning is key. Mm-hmm.
Composition.
Everything. I get all of that right before I even press the shutter button, okay? Mm-hmm. And that takes, or that saves so much time in editing.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, in my editing process, the longest part for me is that I sit down, and when I weed them, mm-hmm. when I weed through pictures, I don't just glance at them. I open every single one, and that's when I do my raw adjustments. And then I'll be like, yes or no, yes or no. And that's the longest process for me, actually. When I get it down to my favorite 20, 50, that part isn't so bad. It's going through them, but I can't break that habit. I'm like, okay, I'll just look at it and pick. I can't do it. I have to open them one by one.
And you've got about 20 to 50 favorites, okay?
Yes.
I've got to edit each and every one of them, okay?
Yeah, you do.
Over-editing?
Overthinking.
Overthinking edits.
Overthinking edits, yeah.
When do we know when to stop editing?
When I get a headache.
Good answer.
A little trick that I like to do when I'm finished with an edit is do the go back. I'll save it and I'll open the two side by side and I'll go and click back and forth. And if I just see minimum adjustments, like you obviously, your skin work is done, yes. The light and color is done, yes, but it still looks like the same person in mm-hmm. picture, I'm done with that picture. And if I sit there, the ones I get stuck on would be my real close-up ones. There's times when I'm like, oh, I can see that little red dot in the eyeball. Nobody else can. I know that, but I do. So I'll zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out, and try to get every little thing corrected. And that's when I know I'm okay, I'm done. I got to back away. But, yeah. The other ones, not so much. They're pretty fast.
What drives you crazy? And the red dot in the eyeball.
The eyeballs, the redness in the eyes. I'm going to say this and they're going to cringe. Nose hair. that's probably the two the most. Yes. Yes.
And on that note, I love the answer though.
And I was like, well.
I love the answer. Real quick, Kelly. For the people that are interested in contacting you about doing their photography work, how may they contact you?
They can contact me from my website, which is portraitsbykelly.net. And on my website is links to my Instagram, my YouTube, my Facebook, my email, even my phone number if you want to just give me a shout. I probably won't answer until I hear the message, though. But, yeah, everything can be found there. On Instagram, it's at Kelly Jo Sedovic. Facebook, I think it's the same thing. I'm not sure. I don't do a lot on there.
Been a while since you checked it, huh?
Yeah, I put up pictures when they're done, but I don't really, like, socialize with people a lot on there. Messenger, yeah, for messages.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
And now the all-important question that I ask all of my guests. Everyone has had some wide range of answers on this question, and I'm going to ask you your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings, whatsoever. What do you feel is one subject, one topic that has been brushed under the rug that people are afraid to talk about? That you feel needs to be brought to the forefront? It could be anything our craft related. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. What is that one thing that you feel now is my opportunity to bring this up and say something? I'm going to do it. What is that?
Actually, I'm going to do this one for my daughter.
Okay.
She's all of 5'1" on her best day, same as my mom, but tiny, teeny tiny, like really skinny. And I just want to make people aware in this industry that it's not just larger people that get picked on. Because she suffered a lot with people always, oh my gosh, you are just way too skinny, and making her feel absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the flip side, because I've always seen it with plus size, and I like to shoot. When I shoot, I look at people's faces, so it doesn't bother me
mm-hmm.
who they are, how big they are, anything. If you have a beautiful face, get in front of my camera. But she's struggled with it a lot. And I don't think people are really aware how it can affect someone who's small. I mean, everybody knows that if you say something to somebody who's a little overweight and they take it hard, well, she's had just random people come up to her and be like, girl, you're too skinny. You need to eat. She does eat. She eats more than she should, but she's still skinny. And she suffers just as much
mm-hmm.
as the other people who suffer for being ridiculed for the other way. So I made a post about this one time because she had just had a long, hard day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the reason why she doesn't like to have her picture taken anymore. And she's a beautiful girl. Like a beautiful, well, she's my daughter, but that aside.
Of course she's beautiful.
That
okay?
aside, it made me think, I'm like, well, if you're taking this hard, there's got to be lots of other girls out there that are taking it that hard too. And people don't see it. So I just kind of want to make other people more aware that mm-hmm. we see you and we see your struggles and that's not right. But it's not right to do that to them as well. On the flip side, I've been to a lot of modeling groups, so to speak, where people aren't so kind to the skinny girls. And you would think it's the other way around. And I think so much attention has been brought to that side that
mm-hmm.
people don't. They make sure that they treat everybody, you know, all really nice. But I've seen where they, in turn, are not so nice to other I don't like saying skinny or big either. I hate those words. But just make people aware that it's everywhere. It's every person. They have feelings, they have thoughts, and they can
right.
be made to feel
right.
very you know, comfortable, sad, whatever, because of things that are said, I guess. So I don't know if she wanted me to talk about that live. But I know how hard it's been for her. I mean, she's been in tears before because people just don't understand that she really does eat. She really does do this and that. But mm-hmm. they just think, oh, you're just too small. You're too skinny. And then she gets upset. So
mm-hmm.
that's something I am strong about. Yeah.
Thank you so very, very much for sharing that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now. This is a promotional video to promote your photography. So now, I want you to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to look into this camera right beside me, and we're going to do a short promo for your photography, okay?
Okay.
I want you to convince somebody that is just met you for the first time, why they should hire you for their photography.
Okay. When do I start?
Anytime you're ready. Anytime you're ready.
Well, if you want to have portraits done by me, Portraits by Kelly, or just Kelly Sedovic, the reason I think that you should come to me is if you're looking for something different, something unique, and something to see a side of yourself that you didn't know existed, because that's what I want to bring out. Something that you don't see, but I can see, and it's absolutely stunning and beautiful. That would be why I would want you to come to take pictures with me.
That's a great answer. Kelly, I want to thank you so very, very much for coming here, being a guest on the Model Connection podcast. I always enjoy talking with a fellow photographer. I learn talking with you, listening from you, listening to you. I have absolutely enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, okay?
You do learn a lot talking to other photographers, though.
You sure do.
It's so valuable.
You sure do, because we don't. Two of us don't do everything the same way, okay?
And even if we did, you'd never get the same picture. So
right.
you still learn. And that's the most valuable thing, I think, is learning.
Right. Always to keep learning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, thank you.
Thank you.
And everyone listening, watching, thank you for tuning in on this episode of the Model Connection podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Model Connection podcast.
Please like, follow, and subscribe on social media and everywhere you get your podcast. Links are in the description. Thank you and bye-bye.